Hello, I'm Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we're here with
we're back. I just want to say, we're back with another episode of How Married. Come on, babe. With another episode of
How Married Are You? Episode 40, to be exact.
Yes.
And it's
Chocolate Baby Story Time. All right. You're going to go first or I'm going to go first. What was mine? Oh, man. The other day, Anaya came in the room in my new office space here. And, you know, she sings this song. She sings a song every time that she, you know, she goes potty. She goes, big girl, big girl, big girl. Yay, you know, we sang a little song for her, and we made up the song. James produced it. But anyway, we did this song, and she comes in singing the song, and she pooped. So she's very excited about her poop, but she had to poop in the little thing.
I was in here.
Yeah, and so, first of all, it smelled gross. And then I was like, okay, let's get you back.
But the thing is, she had to travel far, y'all.
Yeah, so we didn't know if some of the poop had got on the floor.
Or even the urine.
Yeah, so we had to, like, I went back in there, and I had to, like, basically, like, you know, dump out the poop in the potty. However, the poop was stuck to the thing. It was like a relentless piece of poop, and I just was, like, bing, 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 bouncing it on the side of the toilet. And some of it got on the wall because I was hitting it so hard. It was just the most frustrating thing ever. And she's all into it. But yeah, that was, you know, potty training wars.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. What's your chocolate baby story time, babe?
My chocolate baby story time. So Theo has been trying to, he's been trying to do more, like, take on more responsibilities.
Yeah.
And so the other day for lunch, he wanted a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And so he's like, Mom, can I make it? And usually I say no to those types of things because... usually I say no to those types of things because it just takes longer.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening?
Nothing. Go ahead. I was trying to mute my mic, so go ahead.
Usually I say no to those types of things just because it takes longer and I just like to be efficient with my time and whatnot and so forth. But Theo has really been like asking to do more around here. And so I feel like, you know what, I should welcome that because not only is it good for him, but it's good for me because then maybe I have to do less in the future. And so I let him in to the kitchen to, make his sandwich and it was just painful to watch. Because, like, he got peanut butter out of the thing and he started rubbing it on the bread. But, and then the other thing is he's left-handed. So, no offense to anybody who's left-handed, but just watching him work, it was
but
just
y'all
like,
weird.
It was tragic. Yeah. It was just like, what are you doing? And then he wasn't spreading it all across the bread. Mm-hmm. It was just like, I was like, he was like, okay, can I get the jelly now? And I was like, but you didn't even, like, cover the full thing of bread, which surprised me because he's kind of like one of those kids that's more so like pays attention to detail, kind of, would you say? Yeah. So anyway, but then he got to the jelly and he couldn't figure out how to get the jelly out of the thing with the butter knife.
Yeah.
And then so I helped him at least get it out and then he couldn't figure out how to spread it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like, see, this is why I don't let people do stuff because I end up doing it anyway.
I think a little bit of Theo, though, is laziness. Like, he doesn't like
Very
to think.
True.
He doesn't like to challenge himself and think, you know, sometimes when I'm doing stuff and I'll be like, man, you do it. And he'll be like, Dad, but I don't know how. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, think about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's just how he is. But we are now, let's talk about what season this is before we hop into the words of affirmation. I just want to say this is now technically season 3. We have decided that we're in season 3 now because we took a long break without really saying bye. We just left. And it got really overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed to encourage ourselves. So with that segue, as we're in season 3 of the podcast, some things are going to change.
Oh yeah.
For the better. Mm-hmm. And so some of you guys have been listening to the podcast and like, man, you know, it's once a week or whatever. We're going 2 times a week for you.
Yeah.
2 times a week. We're going to be posting on Thursday, Tuesday, and Thursday.
Yeah, why would you start with Thursday?
Because it's a Thursday. Today's a Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, August 1st is a Thursday. So Thursday, we're going to post, and Tuesday. Okay? Now, for our Tuesday episodes, what we want to do is focus on the non-marrieds, okay? Some of you guys are married. Some of you guys are non-married, right? We want to give you an opportunity to ask questions about your relationship, and we'll discuss those questions in the podcast. Now, if you... Do you have something to say?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. We'll answer some of those questions in the podcast. Now, the best way for you to send us those questions is through Anchor or Instagram DMs voice memo. We want to hear your voice on the podcast asking the questions, and we'll dive into those answers.
We will also accept emails. So, like, if you'd like to just type up your situation, we can read it online, right? No? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like reading on out loud.
I'll read it. But if you would rather email your situation, you can email it to howmarriedareyou@gmail.com.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a special thing we're going to be doing, and that's giveaways for people who share, you know, the podcast via Instagram. So if you love the How Married Are You podcast and you want more people to know about the podcast, share it on your stories and just hashtag
HMAY.
Podcast. Yeah. Hashtag HMAY podcast, and you'll be able to, you might win a special little gift that we'll send to you. Yeah.
Glenn's just offering gifts, having not talked to me about that.
I have talked to you about it. You don't remember. Something's going on with your memory.
Seriously.
Yeah. There's sure. something going on with mm-hmm. your memory, because we have discussed this. I've talked to you about it once in Hawaii while I was in Hawaii. Talked about it when we got back. I feel like you just
been I was distracted by the fact that I wasn't in Hawaii.
Okay. Or I was when I was here, I talked to you about it, and you just okay. been like, uh-huh.
I was still bitter about the fact that I wasn't in Hawaii.
Okay. Well, you were pregnant and you wouldn't have been able to go. So
I love you.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been a lot, guys. It's been a lot. Okay.
All right.
Let's go ahead and hop into words of affirmation about it.
Okay, so words of affirmation is an opportunity for you guys to tell us how great we are. Just kidding.
How much you missed us, first yeah, of all.
Yeah, first of all, maybe we should call this words of missing us.
No, affirmation. Go ahead.
Still words of affirmation, but just tell us how much you missed us recently.
Yeah, and most people do that via the Anchor app
mm-hmm.
or through our Instagram DMs. Mm-hmm. They send us voice memos on Instagram.
Yes.
Just follow How Married Are You on Instagram.
Yes.
And now, well, soon, I don't know when the update is happening, but you can, on any podcast app, you can go into the show notes at the bottom. And you can leave a voice memo for us, so you don't actually have to have an Anchor app on your phone, but you probably will have to have an Anchor account, which you can sign up for.
Yes.
So, yeah, keep that into consideration. And these are your words of affirmation.
What we're going to do right here is go back.
Hey, what's going on, Glenn? My name is Kenny. I live in Los Angeles, originally from Montreal, Canada. Been listening to you guys since the very beginning, actually. And Belief, I've been paying attention to you since, like, the Breaks days. Even Belief in Fatherhood, like, the very first episode. And it's crazy to see how the kids have just grown so much over that time period.
Freak, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, y'all, and you don't stop. A freak, freak, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, y'all, and you don't stop. A freak.
You guys are doing a fantastic job. Keep up the good work. Being a new father now, I have a 6-month-old. Just listening to you guys talk about things and giving good advice has been really been an eye-opener for me for our family. So just want to give you guys words of affirmation and keep going at it.
Thank you so much, Kenny, for those words of affirmation. It's so dope to know that you've been around since the Breaks. I've been rapping. Mm. I had my first rap group I was in was called the Breaks, and that was like how long? 14 years ago, yeah. Maybe. Kenny been around since then. Well, it was 2006, so it wasn't 14 years. So, like, 13 years, maybe. All right. So, we have a special guest.
Yes. For those of you listening, you can't see the special guest. But for those of you watching, you can see we have our baby boy with us.
Woo. Yes, we had a baby. I feel
like you should play some, like, celebration music.
I was actually going to show B-roll here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and a little bit of maybe... maybe Twinkle to a Little Star or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Y'all throw for that our in. Listeners.
Yeah. Okay.
So we had a baby, and I guess what we wanted to do today was kind of share with you that whole experience, because I don't know that we haven't necessarily paused on our own to talk about the birth. I mean, like, we were both there, like, we both experienced the day
in our own special ways.
But yeah, we haven't really talked about it in this, you know, like, just sat and chatted. I don't know. So let's talk about it. So the day of the birth. So I don't know how many of you guys follow us on Belief in Fatherhood, the YouTube channel. But if you don't follow us on the channel, and if you're not a Patreon subscriber, you're really missing out.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of behind the scenes. Like, even if we don't upload here on the podcast, there the vlog is a way for you guys to kind of keep up with what's going on in our lives as well. So I would definitely encourage you to sign up for that. But anyway, yeah. So do you just want to start with the good old whatever? The biggest thing about the birth of Uzi?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I really don't want to talk. I mean, I guess we
what?
Should talk
you
about
this. You don't want
to
talk about it?
I mean, we have to. But okay. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot to talk about. But okay, we're going back down there again. Let me get a sip of water. Also, this next season on the podcast, we probably will be doing sponsors. So that's something. All right, let's do this.
Or do you just want to tell the story?
It's so deep. It's so, like, it's a lot. I want you to tell it. I want you to talk about it. And then I'll chime in when I need to.
Okay. So Uzi was born on a Wednesday. It was a beautiful Wednesday morning. Actually, let me start over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know where to start. Like, do I start with just the narrative? Or do I start with the day before when...
Yeah, start from the day before. First of all, I'll do it.
Okay.
First of all, right before, okay, so I had been scheduled to do a commercial sometime around the birth. We were trying to keep it as far away from the due date as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that the actual, the date that the baby was supposed to be born was the 21st. And
the 18th, really.
Oh, yeah. The 21st was the date that we got. That I knew of. And then the commercial was set for the 25th and the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know, I was trying to tell Yvette. She was like, you don't want this baby to come. And I was like, I do, but I don't want it to come. I'm not in a rush. And she's like, I want this baby out of me. And so I was like, listen, like, stop walking, stop running, stop doing everything. Let's just chill. So she's like going on, like, waking up in the morning, going on walks for like 3 miles or something crazy like that, and like trying to get the baby out like maybe 4 days before I had this commercial shoot. So I'm like, don't move. You know what I mean? Like, I have to leave on Tuesday, and then I have the shoot Wednesday, me and the boys, and I'll be back on Thursday. Like, don't move. Like, don't do anything to try to induce yourself. Like, just chill. But, and she didn't. I think you kind of sat still. But we left Tuesday. We get up to the hotel. We do our wardrobe. We go see Toy Story 4. We go to sleep. I cut Ryan's hair. We go to sleep. The next morning, we got to be out of the door at 6:45 for call time. I wake up at 6:45 for call time. I mean, I wake up at 6 o'clock, get the boys out of the room, 6:45. Now, we're in the commercial with Kev on stage and Melissa on stage. So you guys know them from the Love Hour podcast. If you are podcast connoisseurs, their podcast is one that we talk about often because we really like them, and hopefully we do a collab soon or something. But 6:45, we get out the door. What was happening on your side at 6:45?
So on Wednesday morning, so yeah, Glenn was right. So he kind of decided that, like, or he kind of was like not really wanting the baby to come. And honestly, I was expecting the baby to come on Friday. So a little bit background information is all the other three chocolate babies were, like, I went into labor on a Friday. Anaya and Uriah were born on a Friday. Theo, I went into labor on a Friday, and he was born Saturday morning. And so when the baby didn't come on his due date, then I was like, okay, well, then maybe he's going to wait until a Friday like his other siblings did, because Henry babies are just born on a Friday. You know, I just had this whole thing in my head. And so when the baby hadn't come the Friday before the commercial shoot, I was like, oh, then he's probably coming next Friday. And when I realized we were getting closer and closer to Glenn and the boys having to go out of town to LA, then I was like, okay, I'm going to chill. I'm not going to do a thing because I don't want anything to happen when they're out of town. And Glenn was still trying to convince me, because I was originally supposed to be in the commercial as well. Glenn was still trying to convince me to go with them to the shoot. And I was like, nah, that's a little too close to my, like, we're past my due date. I'm not going to be that far away from my midwife, you know, being so close to the due date. And so anyways, on Tuesday, I did do a couple of things. So they left on a Tuesday morning, and on that Tuesday, I did a couple of things. But on that Wednesday, my intentions were me and Anaya were just going to chill on the couch, probably watch a lot of TV or just hang out in the backyard or whatever. But Wednesday morning, I woke up at 6 a.m. to what felt like contractions. And I was like, these aren't contractions. These are just, you know, Braxton Hicks or whatever. And so I was like, because honestly, this commercial would be a huge, like, it would set the Henry family up nicely as far as being able to pay cash for a minivan, which we all know. I don't know if you guys know, but we need a minivan. Like, our car right now is a 5-passenger car, and we have now a family of 6. So we just need more space in the car. Like, we've literally been stuck home.
Or borrowing
my mom's car.
Or renting a car.
And so, yeah. Anyway, so that Wednesday morning, I woke up and I was like, yeah, these aren't contractions, because the Lord knows that we need Glenn to be able to, like, you know, do this commercial shoot, fulfill the deal or whatever. And so at 6 o'clock, I was like, okay, well, you know, let me just see before I let anybody know. And these contractions started to feel pretty intense. And I was like, okay, this is feeling a little intense. So I gave myself an hour before I alerted anybody. And by 7 o'clock, I was like, oh, shoot. I called my mom and I was like, Mom, I need you to get here, because the way the contractions were happening, it was like I wasn't going to be able to tend to Anaya and deal with the contractions. And if you're a woman, you know, like, contractions can get intense. And so in between contractions, I was totally fine. But when the contraction was happening, it was kind of like I just couldn't do anything. And at that time, they were 11 minutes apart. but they like quickly went to like 6 minutes apart. And so anyways, I called my mom and she was getting ready to go to work, but she ended up getting ready to come. She came straight to my house to take care of the baby. And in the midst of this, I called my midwife, my doula, and then we had intended to have a birth photographer there. So we had called my friend to do the birth.
Diana.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I didn't know whether or not I could. So I got.
Oh, and so that was another part of the story. So I knew Glenn had to be at call or on call or at 6:45. And so I didn't call him first. I called Maggie, which is our brand manager, first, to just kind of say, hey, you know, so I am in labor, but I don't want to alarm Glenn just yet because, you know, things could progress, you know, whatever. So I was thinking, okay, if they're on call at 6:45, then maybe they'll be done at a good, decent hour for him to be able to do what he has to do and then get home for the birth.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So I called Maggie first, but then when my mom got there, I kind of talked it out with her and we both decided that I should tell Glenn that I was in labor because he should have the opportunity to decide for himself whether or not he wants to quit the shoot and head home or stay and finish and then head home type situation.
Yeah, she just didn't want to leave me out. And so on my side, I'm having to juggle like the kids, you know, trying to, you know, interact with Kevin, Melissa. And mind you, it's their 15-year anniversary. I'm also having to fill out a bunch of paperwork for, like, you know, the kids and stuff like that. And, you know, get hair, get makeup. I mean, I don't have any hair, but makeup. And so it's just a lot going on my end. And so Maggie is nowhere to be found. And I'm irritated because I'm like, we should have filled out this paperwork like 4 weeks ago, you know, when we booked this gig. Why are we doing it now? And so I was kind of irritated with, like, the amount of like assistance I didn't have. And all this stuff is available. Like you can actually watch this whole thing transpire on Belief in Fatherhood, you know? And so we, like Maggie's not telling me anything and I'm like, yo, where are you? She's like, I took another van. You know what I'm saying? And then you call me. Mm-hmm. Like you were like, I'm going to tell me, you know, I'm going to tell Glenn. So you told me and I just was like, oh man, like the worst time ever, you know, the timing was the worst time ever. And I think, you know, at first you were like, hey, I'm okay. You're cool. And then you called me like right back and was like, you should come.
No, I think you asked me.
Yeah.
You asked me, do you want me there? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, and so,
like, do you want me to leave now? I think was your question or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember. And so I was like, cool, I'm leaving, right? And I didn't understand everything that went into what I was doing at the shoot. I just was like, I gotta be there. I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Once I kind of like understood what was happening, I was like, all right, I'm leaving. And tell the people I'm gone. Somebody else got to take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just kind of feel the tension at that point at the shoot. It was like, wait a minute, what? The guy who's starring in the show, I mean, in the commercial, is leaving. Now, mind you, at this point, I didn't even have a script. I didn't even know how many words I had to say. But apparently, I had all the words. Like, you know, Kevin was like, just looking out for my friends. And like his line was like he had very minimal lines, but my lines were like the lead lines.
Did they not give you the script before?
No.
They gave you the script the day of?
They gave me the script right before we went on.
Wow.
So I was like, I'm trying to remember lines, you know what I mean? Because I don't want to have to like mess anything up. It just was a lot of pressure and I felt like I was being pulled many different ways. And so I was like, I got to leave. And then... the people were just like, but long story short, because I don't want to get into any like legal issues, but long story short, it was like the people were like, listen, like you said you were going to do this, you need to be here, you know, we'll set up an opportunity for you to watch your wife give birth, But if you leave, then you know what I'm saying? Like, we basically out the whole shoot. Like, we lose all this money. You know what I mean? And I was just like, yeah, I don't care. Like, I'm out, you know? And then, like, they were like, well, listen, can the kids stay? And I was like, okay. So, Yvette, as far as Yvette knows, I'm on the way home, right?
Yeah. So, for me, like, things are just, you know, progressing nicely. So, my mom and my friend Diana ended up getting the tub blown up and filled with water. And I was able to take a shower and then, you know, get into the tub. Mind you guys, Anaya slept for a good majority of that morning. Like, I think she woke up at like 9 o'clock and she usually wakes up around 7:38. So it was like, I don't know, there was some divine intervention happening on our side of things, but Anaya slept. My mom and Diana were able to help me get adjusted. My doula, who is also the kid's godparent, showed up, and she was awesome. She actually showed up with her 5-week-old daughter. She had just had a baby herself, which was awesome. It was kind of cool to see a baby during the birth. It was interesting. But
yeah, I want to hear your side of the story.
Anyway, so yeah, I was able to shower. We had been in touch with the midwife, and that was that. The midwife doesn't necessarily come until it's more so like you're just entering into active labor, not really active labor, but like until the contractions are at least 5 minutes apart. And so anyways, I got out of the shower, the tub was filled, and I kind of immediately got into the tub. Some people don't always get into the tub right away, but for me, with Anaya's birth, I felt like being in the water was very beneficial to me. Just it helped relax my body. It helped me. It was just more comfortable than being outside of the water. And so I immediately got in. And yeah, it was just an experience. Like, the contractions were intense. They progressed pretty fast, actually. When I first woke up, it was like 11 minutes apart. And then it went to 6 minutes apart. And then it was like at 5 minutes apart. And then it kind of went back to 6 minutes. But then it went to like 4 minutes. So I was laboring. And then so eventually Anaya did wake up. That's one thing. Anaya did eventually wake up. My mom made her breakfast and was kind of tending to her while Shan was there. And then so the midwife actually ended up showing up at like 10 a.m. ish, around 10 a.m., and I didn't even call her to let her know to come. She kind of just could hear in my tone from the last time that we talked that she should probably be on her way. So they just kind of her and her team showed up, and it was actually worked out really nicely. But anyways, after Anaya finished eating her breakfast, my mom and her kind of came upstairs to the room. I was laboring in our bedroom, and they were hanging out on the couch in our room. And I just tell you, like, Anaya was a real source of just grounding for me in that, because I don't know if you guys have seen, we'll have to put a link here, but Glenn had just video recorded a prank that he ran on the boys like a few days before that, or a week or so before that, with a bear. And Anaya kind of got traumatized from that, because
she got traumatized from watching the video, not from the experience.
That's true. She wasn't like, yeah, it wasn't until she saw the video again that she was like, whoa. So she's kind of like, I don't want to walk up the stairs by myself, or she likes to check her closet before she goes to sleep and stuff. It's really sad. But that, I didn't want the labor to be another source of traumatization for her. And so I was a little bit nervous about how she would react to me being in labor, because I kind of reflected back on Theophilus from Anaya's birth, and he was old enough to process the fact that he couldn't take watching his mom in so much pain. So he removed himself from the room such that he wouldn't have to see that. Now, my mom was there to support Anaya in this experience, but I'm not sure that Anaya would have that same. I know she wouldn't have that same. Well, actually, Anaya is pretty mature, but I don't think she would have that same, you know, discernment to say, hey, I need to excuse myself.
Yeah.
And so I was a little bit nervous about that. So in between contractions and even sometimes during contractions, I don't know if this was captured on video or not, but I would be like in the middle of a contraction trying to hold a smile on my face. I know I probably look crazy as I don't know what, but especially coming out of the contractions, I would try to lock eyes with Anaya and just smile so that she knew I was okay. And that for me was just really helpful to kind of like, you know, I don't know, like stay focused or just grounded. Like, okay, but this is like, you did this with Anaya, so you can do this again for this child. We didn't have a name at that point. But yeah, it was a really, like, I always talk about Anaya's birth being like my favorite date with the Holy Spirit, but I feel like just home births in general are just for me. And I guess it's not necessarily just a home birth, but giving birth in general is just a huge, it's just a great opportunity for the Lord to kind of show up and show out. And so it was a nice day. Now, I will say that because Glenn wasn't there, I think I was kind of holding out. I was trying to like wait, not allow my body to like let this baby be born until Glenn got there. And so at one point, we were FaceTiming with Glenn, and it was obvious to me that he was not in a car on his way home. And so I was a little caught off guard by that. And so you explained to me that, are we saying that part?
Yeah, I mean, like, you can see it all on Belief in Fatherhood. I really want to focus on your perspective. Okay.
Then, what was I saying? So yeah, so I was on FaceTime with Glenn and I saw that he wasn't in the car and I was like, hey, what's going on? And then he explained to me the whole situation and I was like, okay, babe, I'm so sorry. And my mom and everybody was kind of like, why do you keep saying sorry? Why do you keep saying, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry? And I was saying that because I was sorry that I just couldn't hold on anymore. Mm. Like, I really wanted Glenn to be able to welcome this child with me.
Yeah. And when you would say that, I would break. It would break me. Like, yeah. I would be like I just broke down in tears. And then at one point I was crying so hard, your mom was like, okay, I gotta go because I can't hear this, Glenn.
Yeah.
She's and very much like you.
And the crazy thing is too, when I said, why aren't you in a car, when I saw you on FaceTime and I said, why aren't you in a car? And then we got off the phone. Everybody in the room was like, why would you say that to him? And I'm like, hello, do you guys see what I'm going through right now? Yeah. Like, I'm trying to push a baby out here by myself without my husband, without the man that put this child in me. So, like, what? They felt sorry for him. And then I felt bad for saying it. But at the same time, it was like, no, wait, I've been holding out for you.
Yeah.
This child would have been here by now had you been here. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to get all fussy or whatever, but I do feel like if Glenn were there, instead of it being like a 5-hour labor, my first contractions that I felt were at 6 a.m. and then the baby was born at 11:04 a.m. Mm-hmm. So it was like about 5 hours of laboring, which is my shortest birth to date, which has kind of been my track record with every baby. It gets less and less. But yeah, I really feel like if Glenn were there, I would have had that baby so much sooner just because of whatever. But you guys, like, I just feel like, so yeah, so the baby was born. It was a beautiful experience for me. I think a lot of people are wondering, like, okay, Yvette, what's your side of the story? But for me, like, if you watch the videos that Glenn put out, it seems so hectic and like stressful. And I'm sure it was for a lot of people, but for me, it wasn't as stressful. It was a bummer that Glenn wasn't able to be there with me, but the birth itself was, it was just like the sun was shining through the windows. You could hear the birds. Like, you, it again? Was, yeah.
Wow.
Well, we have a lot of birds back here.
Yeah. You got creatures back here.
But, like, it was a beautiful day. And it was everything that I wanted it to be. I don't like the, like, Theo and Uriah were overnight births, right? Or was Uriah? Like, they were kind of evening births, so it was kind of dark and whatnot and so forth, but...
Very sterile and...
Yeah, but for this birth, it was, like, first thing in the morning. And it was just bright and cheery, and we were in our new home, and it was just a lot of good things, cool things about it that I loved. And so I didn't want, like, Glenn's version of the story to kind of take away from the actual birth itself, because that was a beautiful thing. Like, the Lord. And so that was one thing that I wanted to share, is that, like, in our 9 years of marriage and plus dating, I feel like Glenn has become, like, a huge source of strength for me. Like, I default to Glenn a lot. And so I think with this laboring experience, this was, like, the Lord's way of saying, hey, Yvette, like, I'm still here for you. Like, I've got you. I see you. I love you. I care for you. Like, I really want, I don't want to cry. I really just want to remind you that I am a your source of strength. And I don't know why the Lord had to remind us in this way. And I'm not sure, or remind me in this way. And I don't know if I can really say it. I mean, I feel like the Lord allowed things to happen the way they did for a reason. But yeah, I just feel like.
You can hear him snoring.
I just feel like I needed that reminder. And I feel like it was so necessary, because, to be honest with you guys, like, walking into the season of being a mother of four kids has been overwhelming. And a lot of times, like, I've always said, His grace is sufficient, His grace is sufficient. But, like, His grace is sufficient, and He is my strength, and my, like, He's gonna get me through this.
I feel like God, like, He is all you need.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything else. Like, had no one else been there, you would have been fine. Mm. Like, had no one else, think about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even though it doesn't seem right,
mm-hmm.
like, the birds would have still been chirping. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I think you would have been fine. And He's all you need. And I think for you, it was kind of like, you're starting to realize, you know, your capacity.
Mm.
And, you know, your, like, your relationship with God is only getting stronger,
mm-hmm.
in that way. Because, like, in that same way that you needed Him to get through the birth, you still need Him to get through every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Especially dealing with four kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know? For me... And I'm so upset that, you know, like, the story is painted as if it was traumatic, because mm-hmm. it was traumatic for me,
yeah.
But it wasn't traumatic for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys got to know that belief in fatherhood is a story about a father,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that is what it is. Yvette isn't meant to be, like, shunned or, like, pushed away, but it really, like, the show is about dad. Is mm-hmm. about dad, you know. And so How Married Are You is a way for you to, you know, understand more of Yvette's side of the story on certain things. But for me, if I could just speak on my experience, there were some things that I didn't really actually talk about, you know. And so what I think what really, like, was hard for me was the fact that I missed Anaya, like, helping you.
Mm. I didn't even really speak on that, but go ahead.
Yeah. So when I watch Anaya, okay, so home births for fathers are amazing.
Yeah.
You feel included. I'm going to fill up the pool with the air, and I'm going to fill up the pool with the water. And then if you're thirsty, I'm going to get you something to drink, mm-hmm. and I'm going to rub you down. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I'm a part of the thing. Mm-hmm. In a hospital, it's like, excuse me, sir, can you stand out of the way? Hold this leg. Cut this. Good yeah. job. Yay. Mm-hmm. Dad was there. You know what I'm saying? Where, like, I feel more a part.
Mm-hmm.
The hospital was just, it's very sterile. It's very convenient for the doctor. It's a whole different experience to where the midwife asks, how are you feeling? What do you need? What do you need us to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's what do you need? And for the hospital, it's like, what can I do? It's like, you're asking permission to be in the most comfortable.
Mm.
Like, you're asking like, oh, I can't eat anything. Okay.
Yeah.
You know? And so not to downplay like doctors or nurses or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But it's just a totally different experience. But I watched Uriah cheer you on, and it gave me respect for Uriah. Mm-hmm. It like allowed me to see my children and understand them differently.
Yeah.
And so the fact that I missed that with Anaya, and to see her just be strong, like I just was like, I'm like heartbroken for that, because I feel like that's something I'm privy to. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? That's access that I get. That I have access to.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah. So that was another thing. It was like Anaya was there, y'all. Like, I think once she came into the room, she didn't really leave the room. I think she didn't leave the room until after the, oh, she left the room at one point to go get her baby.
Oh my gosh.
It was the sweetest thing. But like she was smiling at me. At one point, I didn't realize I was holding her hand, y'all. But I was holding her hand in the middle of a contraction.
You were squeezing her hand.
I was squeezing her hand. But she didn't scream or cry or anything. She was fanning me. She yes. was she had was a just, little
fan of
she fan. Actually touched me at one point. I was like, who's touching me? Because I didn't want anybody touching me during the labor. So I was like, who's touching me? And everybody's like, your daughter. I was like, oh, hi, baby.
Yeah, but, she was touching your ear.
Yeah.
From what I've seen on the video.
She was just a sweetheart. She was, and she's been amazing. Like, before the baby was born, she was my shadow. During the birth, she was right there. And even after he was born, she's been here. Mm-hmm. Like, she has not left. And so, yeah. Now, I don't know. Maybe if you guys want to ask us some more questions about the birth, maybe we'll make an opportunity for that on
Tuesday.
Okay.
Next Tuesday or something.
I was going to say we can go live on Instagram or something, but that's fine too.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about how we reconciled Glenn missing the birth.
Yeah.
So Glenn had shared with her. So after you give birth at home, your midwife comes back the next day, and then she comes back again. She came back again 2 days later, and then you go to her office. But when she came back, Glenn was sharing with her how he was having a hard time dealing with the fact that he missed a birth. And so she suggested to him a rebirthing experience where we fill the tub back up and just the three of us get into the tub together. And so Glenn decided that that was something that he wanted to do. So we went ahead and did that. And do you want to talk about what that did for you?
Yeah. The rebirth was a very positive experience. That's on Patreon too. It was like, it's full video where Yvette breaks down at the end. Cause she just, Zach is a really good interviewer.
And it wasn't until then that I realized that, oh, him missing the birth actually did affect me. Because I really did believe that I was okay.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, apparently.
Yeah. And the thing was, it's like, I felt how I felt about missing the birth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Initially, I felt like a coward because I couldn't run away from the money.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like average. I felt, anti-belief in fatherhood. I felt, this is just all like the enemy, right? I'm just mm-hmm. thinking like, man, yeah. this is like some real. And so when I look at the, when I came home, when I came home from a day, no baby was here. And then it was like a baby was here. And I had to like introduce myself to my son, which felt Like, you don't even, like, I just felt like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and it was something I couldn't explain, because in the first couple moments of the kids taking their first breath, I got to hold them and, like, feel them, you know? And so there's so much I'm not a part of as a father, that there's, you know, in those first moments, you know, because it's like you push the baby out, the baby gets the skin, baby starts nursing, you know. I may be able to change a diaper to, you know, then hand it right back. But for the most part, I'm not really in there, but you're in there. And so I want to be there as much as possible. And I felt like I felt bad about it. So when the opportunity for the rebirth came, it just was like, it was like the first moment we actually got to kick it together and just talk.
Yeah.
Without, you know, just outside, us being tired. Yeah. So it just was cool to connect with you. It was cool to connect with him. Looking at his eyes, you know, feeling him, and it just felt safe.
Yeah.
And I can't really explain it. It felt safe. And yeah, I feel like it was worth it. I can't really describe it, but I feel like that moment was like a reset for me. Like, I got to start over, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we did that like a week after the baby was born.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it was exactly 1 week.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was good. You know, it was a lot of, you know, it was really good. And I feel like I think I could have definitely got through it without it and been cool and like still had the same connection. But I think mentally I'm someone who's realizing the power of feeling your feelings. You know what I mean? So now when I feel something, I'm really feeling it. And I'm like, you know, I can't let this moment pass. I know I'm hurting right now and I need to feel this, you know?
That's really good.
Yeah. So like, I think so many of us, when people, you know, pass away, or people, something happens traumatic, we're just like, okay, I got to get through this. And you can't grieve forever. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you have to take that time to grieve. You have to take that time to rest. I remember we were doing those like 20-minute moments where we just stopped and just laid down and just closed our eyes and thought about nothing for 20 minutes. And that's feeling your feelings. And I think the rebirth allowed me to, like, I was already pause. In my feelings. Yeah, pause and just feel this, be in this moment, stop. It was like going on vacation. It was just like a much needed break from reality, and that was good for me. And so I want to find out other ways to do that. Someone actually suggested the kids being able to do a rebirth with the baby, Theo and Uriah. And that actually sounded terrible to me. It's like some like safety thing.
Yeah.
But they do get a lot of skin to skin and quality time.
Yeah, they do
with the baby. They feel very much a part, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if we should do a whole podcast on feeling your feelings, but I feel like lately I've been allowing myself that. One of my major concerns has been like postpartum depression. Like, I just don't want to be depressed, and so.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
One of my biggest concerns has been postpartum depression. Like, I don't want to be depressed. And so, whenever I do have any kind of feeling of like feeling sad or low or whatever, I like get a little bit anxious. Like, okay, what is this? Like, I don't want to be stuck here. But I have come to the conclusion that I have to allow myself to feel what I feel. Because if I try to like shove it down, that's just as unhealthy as being, you know, depressed. And so I allow myself to be, you know, just, okay, I'm overwhelmed right now, or I'm tired, or I'm exhausted, or whatever. So, yeah. Anywho, before we conclude this episode, I wanted to talk about the name of the baby. So how we came, like, who is this child? Like, we'd like to introduce to you our third co-host, Uzziah, Jake, and Edon Henry. And when we were coming, so this is the first, I think he just, did he just fart?
I don't think so. I think that was out of his mouth.
He's all sweaty. He's hot.
Yeah.
Can you take him?
Yeah, I'll take him.
Oh, what's on his nose?
You get it?
So, what was I saying? Oh, okay. So when we were coming, this is the first baby that we didn't have a name for him before he was born. And that's mostly because we didn't know the gender of him. And I think we just needed more time to actually just think of a good name, because for us, the meaning of a name is very important.
Yeah.
And so, when he was born and just given the events of the day or the, just the circumstances surrounding the day, we wanted to have, or it was Glenn's idea that we have a name that had something to do with time. And so
because
like we didn't have control of the time, and you know, it was just, I feel like his birth was a reminder that we just don't have control of the time. Like, the Lord is in control. And so, and God's timing is perfect, y'all. Like, God's timing is perfect. Like, for us, we would say that that was horrible timing. But the Lord had something that he wanted to work out through the situation. And so we have to be receptive to that. But anyways, Jaken Edon was the first name that we, not the first, we had several different names thrown out there. But Jaken Edon means, Jaken means,
he establishes.
He establishes. And Edon means era, which we went for time. And so Jaken Edon for us is a reminder that the Lord establishes time. Like, everything he does works out in his own timing. And then Uzziah means Yahweh is my strength. And so as I've shared with you guys, it was just a reminder for me that day that the Lord is my strength. And so Uzziah is just, I don't know, I just feel like every time we say his name, we'll just be reminded that the Lord is our strength and he establishes time. And so we thought it was a perfect name for him given the day that he was born.
Yeah. We call him Uzi.
Yeah, for short. Uzi for short.
Yeah.
Which is fun. I like it a lot, actually.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool. So yeah, the kids love him. The kids love his name.
Oh my gosh.
They just are, everybody's enamored and in love with the kid. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So babe, how married are you?
How married am I? I'm so married that I'm not judging you for some of the entertainment that you have chosen to embark on and watch. That trash. I'm sorry. That is judging you, but I'm
saying
that the show is trash. I'm not saying you're trash for watching it. Mm. Now, those are two big different things.
I don't know if it's that different. Yeah. It's like an undertone.
It's a slight.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's not a really good one.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you know.
Okay.
You want to tell them the show you're watching?
No.
Oh, gosh.
And so,
babe, how married are you?
Okay, so the funny thing is mine has to do with that, but I'm so married that the other day I was watching the show that Glenn says is trash. And he was done working in the office and came out into the living room. And I was like, okay, I'll turn this off. And not only did I turn it off, I didn't even ask him what he wanted to watch. I just straight up turned on The Office.
The Office. That was so sweet.
Wasn't it the sweetest thing?
Yes.
Thank you.
And you didn't like say anything.
I just turned it on. I turned off my show and turned it on. Yes. Because I just know that's your routine. You like to watch The Office all the time. And so I turn it on, and y'all, within 1 minute, 60 seconds, I'm not even like exaggerating. I promise you it was within 1 minute. That fool was snoring. I was like, what? I turn off my show for you to go to sleep? And then I try to politely wake him up and be like, hey, what's going on here? Are you going to watch this? And he's like, I would never wake you up if you fell asleep.
I was so
he
mad.
Fussed at me. I was like, wait a minute here. I did something very nice. You know, I don't even like to watch The Office. I hate to say that because I feel like everybody's going to come for me right now. But
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe you don't like to watch The Office, but you like to watch what you watch. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's okay. Bad, guys. Okay.
Okay, whatevs. So, yeah. And that's just how married we are.